Yesterday, I went down to the Cutler Majestic Theater at Arts Emerson.
This is what we call a hot spot, if you'll stand right over here.
What was supposed to be an interview turned into an unexpected micro master class.
Speak out that way. Just speak up there toward that balcony.
Hello, upper balcony.
Can you hear your voice?
I can.
Isn't it extraordinary?
Yeah.
The truly extraordinary voice belongs to the actor who stood next to me, Academy Award-winning F. Murray Abraham.
This is one of the nicest houses I've ever worked in. But I had a friend once. Can you hear it? Isn't that great?
Oh, yes.
And I'm not even working at it. The theater that you're in dictates so much of the performance, much more than people give it credit for.
Without any obstruction between you and the audience, does it make you more vulnerable as an actor or more
vulnerable?
Accessible?
My dear,
more courageous?
When I'm on stage, they are vulnerable. I am the dangerous one. That's the way to act. This is my place. You have been here. You are my guests. Be ready.
Abraham is commanding, controlling, and courageous. The 71-year-old made his name playing one tortured, jealous antihero, Salieri, in the 1984 film Amadeus. Standing next to him on stage, I could feel the barely contained, quivering rage he's currently pouring into another antihero, Shylock, in Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice.
When an actor who wants to be called great, who seeks greatness, that's why you do the great roles.
Mm-hmm.
The famous roles, because you're a target.
A target for critics who are happy to feast on the frailties of actors who know the part has been done before and done better. Except this time. Those same critics are calling Abraham's Shylock among the greatest realizations of the role ever.
And it's up to you, not possibly to erase the past, but to put your mark on the present. That's really hard.
Do you feel that you're doing that
with
this role?
Listen, I hate to say it, but according to the critics, yes. And since that's the record, I guess I lucked out. But as far as I'm concerned, every role I do has my stamp on it. Sometimes the stamp isn't very good. That's all. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And when I teach, I open and close the class with those words.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid.
He hath disgraced me. And what is his reason?
I am a Jew. Yet not a Jew eyes, yet not a Jew hands. Organs, dimensions, senses.
Revenge. The villainy you teach me, I will execute. And it shall go hard. I will better the instruction.
Villainy, revenge, the humanity within the inhumane. That was the scene I had in mind when F. Murray Abraham and I finally sat down to talk as theater staff were setting up for last night's performance.
Because their subconscious understands that beyond words. We're having a thing here.
Quiet.
Thank you.
I've read... You quoted as saying that your embodiment of Shylock is one of great humanity.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the word that you yourself use.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you use the phrase humanity in terms of how you're approaching the character?
Well, it's how I approach every character I do. But it's important to... it's important to elucidate that because historically... Jews on the stage have been represented as devils, anything but human beings. And in fact, the only way that any human being can treat another human being like a dog is to dehumanize them, to actually think of them as dogs or less than human, subhuman. That's how slavery exists, I think. And of course, it denigrates yourself. You dehumanize yourself when you treat people as less than human. And unfortunately, it happens to be part of a human character, is to have someone to spit on. I'm not too sure why that exists, but it certainly has always been that way. There's always been some lower class that people like to step on. And I think it's important that people recognize his humanity in very strong, clear, basic human terms, so that when they hear these terrible anti-Semitic things dumped on him, they think, this is wrong. And by the same token, it might wake them up to their own racism. You know, it's possible that you can grow up a racist without knowing it. You mm-hmm. might accept it as not only proper, but natural. I was raised that way without knowing it. The language I used, the way I treated people, it was part of the society I grew up in.
Is this, you're referring to your upbringing in El Paso?
Yeah. Yeah, there were certain terms. I don't want to go into them, but I was a victim of it. And when I woke up to the fact, you know, some people don't. They live their whole lives blinded to that aspect of their lives. And I woke up to it and I thought, well, wow, that's me? Well, I'm not going to be that way anymore. I don't want to be treated that way by anyone, and I'm certainly not going to treat anyone else that way.
Since you've opened this door, I'm going to just walk through it just a little bit, if I may. Does this particular dramatization of The Merchant of Venice, what's your response to the fact that many people still feel it as an anti-Semitic play?
Well, it definitely is anti-Semitic, but it's also, I don't think any Christian in the play comes off well at all. I think it's also homophobic. I think it's classism is a very strong element in this. It speaks to our time. The idea that these bankers and Wall Street people have practically destroyed America, brought it to its knees, and they're rich. No one went to jail. This play deals with injustice in the justice system, and that's exactly what's happening in our country today.
Forgive me for interrupting, but this, I think, is an extraordinarily important point, because the staging of The Merchant of Venice that you're doing,
right.
It takes place not in old Venice at all. It's mostly on a trading floor, a New York Stock Exchange type scene. Everyone looks like as if they're corporate bankers.
Yes,
makes them far less sympathetic than they may have been if it were a conventional staging of the play.
Yeah, it makes it very present, very current, and I think it really hits home with a lot of people. They come away, I'm certain of it, because of their enthusiastic jumping to their feet at the end of each performance, that they're saying yes.
Well, because people sitting in the audience today feel as if, with the with the collapse of the economy, that almost in a literal sense, at least in terms of their economic well-being, they have been asked for a pound of flesh.
No, it's not like they have been. They have been asked, and it's been taken. And they have nowhere to turn. It's very much, this play speaks exactly to that condition.
Does it ironically make Shylock in this dramatization less sympathetic, though?
No, it makes him more sympathetic, because they see the way he's screwed in this play. He's called, the way he gets caught by the judge is that he is labeled an alien. He's been living in Venice for three or four generations. They call him an alien because it suits them. He's a Jew. He's not entitled what's the matter with me? He's not entitled to be called a member of society. He's an outsider. That's really what this play deals with, is being an outsider on everyone's part. But they got him. And as one member of the audience said, sotto voce, but loud enough to hear, don't fight City Hall.
Huh.
But you see, that's speaking directly to the corruption of our times as well as those times.
How important is it to you at this stage in your career to be playing a role like Shylock that has been interpreted and reinterpreted and put through various cultural and historical lenses for centuries now?
Well, what you're touching on is the reason that actors should do the classics. That tests you. What do you got? Show me what you got. What can you do to this thing that's been done for 400 years by the greatest actors who ever lived? And then you say, well, I'll step up. I'll give it a shot. I'll try it. You're invited by Shakespeare to do anything at all. Try your voice. Try your imagination. Because he can take it, no matter what you do. And actors are not really willing to take that risk, because you can fall on your ass. Mm. I can absolutely swear to that. I have, and I probably will again. But in this part, it seems to have connected. Burt Lancaster and I knew each other years ago, and I complimented him. He was a star for 50 years. I don't even know if you know who that is. But
oh,
anyhow,
I do.
We've done some work together. I met him in Rome shortly after Atlantic City. It was a wonderful performance. And I said to him, you know, congratulations on the great notices. And you know what he said? Sometimes you get lucky. He's been a star for 50 years.
Amazing, yes.
Well, that's the way I feel. Sometimes you get lucky.
It seems to be more than just luck, though.
Oh, it's hard work. Don't misunderstand
you've
me.
You've been sitting with this character sort of present in your mind and spirit since 2006 in terms of doing workshops.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How's that journey been from 2006 to now?
Yeah, that's a point that I take for granted, but you're right. It's been bubbling and cooking over the years, even though I wasn't really thinking about it consciously. But, of course, it's been there. Well, I guess it's just... It worked to my benefit.
I did want to avoid asking you about Salieri, but I'm going to anyway, largely because for those people who, you know, aren't regular theater goers or who just sort of have a casual relationship or understanding of your career, the other major role they know you for is from Amadeus, from playing Salieri in 1984. Do you think it would come as a surprise to people who know you as Salieri and now, you know, are seeing you on stage as Shylock that much of your early career was actually comedic?
Yeah. Well, if you take another look at Amadeus, which is easy for me to talk about now, it's been a long time, the old man was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I think I try to bring that to any of the roles, each of the roles that I do, except for the Scottish play.
The dreaded
Scottish
play.
There's nothing funny about that man at all. It's really... It was hard to play. I think it was tougher for me than Lear. I tell you, my father's Syrian. My mother's from Italy. He's from Syria. She's from Italy. And my name is Murray Abraham. So I've been taken for Jewish most of my life. And the people are funny because when they find out that, when I say, look, I'm not Jewish, I'm Arab, and they say, well, that's even worse, you know. It's like if they're anti-Semitic, they're anti-Arab as well. or sometimes reverse discrimination from Jews when they find out I'm not Jewish. They've been very nice, and then suddenly there's like a door closes. I wish there was some way I could be an emissary of peace, but that's not my job.
Well, you may be in part doing that through playing Shylock.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Better things to do than war, don't you think?
Yeah. I just have to ask, because you refer to it as the Scottish play. Mm-hmm. Would I be breaking an actor's...
Oh, you should do it inside.
I know, I can't, so I should not say it.
You can say it when you get out.
Okay. Well, he's referring to a particular play, whose name I will not mention now until we leave the theater. That was tougher to play?
Yeah, yeah.
Than Shylock or Lear?
Oh, no. Shylock's a treat. Shylock's
Why?
A treat.
I mean, but why?
Oh, it's so beautifully engineered, and also there's lots of time to rest between scenes. That's another thing. With the Lord M, there's no rest. It should be played like a rocket in one act, which is what I did, without a breath, because he talks about there being no rest and sleep. So you shouldn't give anyone a break. You shouldn't give any intermission. That's the way to play that, and you do that in one breath, and you get tired. But Lear, take a look at it. He has these things, and then he has a rest. Then he has these things, and then he rests again. Shakespeare was no dummy.
May I ask you about the craft of this? Because, you know, as you said, this is a character that's lived for 400 years. Mm-hmm. And even for those people who haven't read The Merchant of Venice in detail, most of us know the famous lines. When it comes to those moments on stage where you're encountering the, you know, if you prick us, do we not bleed line. How do you approach the craft of that?
That's a secret.
I thought I was going to get lucky just then.
You just do it, man. You just step up to the plate and do it, that's all.
Also, I mean, I don't imagine that you're casual about it at
all. No, no, no. But I have fun with it. I'm a serious actor, but that doesn't mean I'm a boring actor. I really love my work. I've been doing it for 50 years. I'm 71 years old. I'm in very good shape. And I expect to go on for quite a while, at least until I die. I really do. Because I just have a good time. I think it's a play. Hey, wake up. It's a play. It's a make-believe. I mean, it's serious make-believe, but it is just make-believe.
Well, F. Murray Abraham, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you here in the Cutler Majestic Theater just a few hours before tonight's performance. So thank you so much for making the time to chat with us.
It was really fun. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, now that I'm outside the theater, I can safely clarify that the Scottish play Abraham referred to is, of course, Shakespeare's Macbeth. F. Murray Abraham plays Shylock in The Merchant of Venice through April 10th at Arts Emerson. There's more information on our website, radioboston.org.